are you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. He replied, I am he. In a time when documentation was your word, Jesus steps forward to take the brunt of the allegation, the accusation, our sin. Asked another time, he answers again, I am he. He says it in reply to his name. Day, Good Friday, with a story that we know so well, we could almost repeat it without the texts. I ask your attention to a name given for us, not today, taken from us. The space between those verbs is extraordinary. Jesus steps forward and gives his name to receive the brunt of the criticism of his religious community and to squelch the fear of the Roman authorities that insurrection might break forth in this little byway called Jerusalem during a holiday season. A national security threat, the kind we worry about with airport officials and border crossings and immigration. He steps forward with a name to say, I am he. None of these, none of us, to be held accountable for that intersection of what is official and what is vulnerable, but shielded by his gift of his name, we today, and in all the Good Fridays of the past, become Jesus' people. He gives us his name. And there is none, neither Pilate nor any government since, who may take it. Small Syrian town known as Khan Sheikh Qayyum. Last week came the story of a woman who gave her name as Om Ahmed. In her deepest sorrow, she said, if the world wanted to stop this, they would have done so by now. One more chemical attack in a town the world has never heard of, whose name is unknown, won't change anything. Her voice cracking. My son died yesterday, she said. I have nothing left to say to the world. Om Ahmed, son, died in Khan Sheikh Qayyum. Every one of those syllables is foreign to my tongue, and I expect for those whose language it is, my pronunciation isn't right. But she's been in my prayers by name. Her town, a place I'll never visit. I've looked for pictures, and you can too, on Google Earth. You can find her town. I expect that that image that I can find there looks far better than her town looks now. I know for certain that there's one less person alive in that town, her son. I don't know his name, but standing here today, I know that I am and you are, and throughout the centuries, we have been given the name that Jesus gives us. Jesus' people. He names us by stepping forward to take the brunt of the violence aimed at so many in the world unjustly. So many who ask, does anyone know where this is happening? Does anyone know that my son died? Today, in the embrace of a God of mercy, I can say to you with confidence, but with great worry and fear for my own complicity, that God knows the name of her son. And God knows the violence that has taken his life. And God knows what she's asking of you and of me and of God. Please, see me. Know my name. Know that here in my town, the unthinkable is happening. Please, see me. The story of the Passion is riddled with people who are not sure whether to be seen or unseen. Peter cannot stay away from the trial of Jesus, and yet asked if he's Jesus' person. Cannot say yes. And it cuts him to the heart. And as we read his story, it cuts us too. Peter, who will jump out of the boat and walk on the water to meet Jesus, who comes to him in the storm, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have done that, is armed with a sword. He knows there's trouble coming. He knows they're at risk. And I suspect that over the years, the church has loved Peter well for that incredible impetuousness that even prompts him to strike with the sword. And for Jesus to say in reply, Peter, the sword is its own excuse for being, but it produces only one thing: death, cutting, violence. Om Ahmed asks if we see the violence falling on her town. She asks if we know her son died. In the book Night, Elie Wiesel tells a story from the concentration camp, which I expect you know as well. It is as known to us in this time as though it is scripture. He writes that as they returned from work, they saw gallows. The SS seemed more preoccupied, more worried than usual. To hang a child in front of thousands of onlookers was not a small matter even for them. The head of the camp read the verdict. All eyes were on the child. He was pale, almost calm, biting his lip as he stood in the shadow. Where is merciful God? Where is he? Someone behind me asked. At the signal, the chairs tipped. Then came the march past the victims for all of us. The two men were no longer alive, but the child, too light, was still breathing. And so he remained for more than half an hour, lingering between life and death. Behind me, I heard the same man, "For God's sake, where is God?" And from within me, I heard the voice answer, "Where is God? This is where. Hanging here from the gallows." So says the confession of the church. Jesus of Nazareth, who steps forward to bear the iniquities of the world on the cross, is none other than God Almighty. It is God who does not spare God's own self the violence of this world, but enters it, that enables us in moments of profound loss and absolutely incomprehensible violence to say there is another way. In part, that way comes to us in our resurrection faith. But it comes also in our plea, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. We sing those words as a dear hymn, but they come to us from another malefactor. They come to us from one also executed. Perhaps it's why we can bear to ask. In our most guilt-ridden, complicit places, where we wonder, how could it possibly be that a spokesperson for our government, and I mean nothing political here, please, can call that place that Elie Wiesel describes a Holocaust center? What anesthetizing have we done? What scrubbing of our language? What euphemism have we entered if we will not call the violence that we perpetrate on one another at least for what it is? It is done with bombs and gas and swords and every other possible violent means. And God did not create those things. God did not set aside the tax dollars to provide for them. We did. It is the reason in the church which such sorrow and worry each time we read the Passion. We know that we too cried, crucify him. We in fact even understand the logic, God help us, that it is better for one to die than for insurrection to happen. Have you heard the pleas this week of the Catholic bishops against the executions in Arkansas? Don't look away. Help me not to look away. I want to. I want to sanitize. I want to euphemize. I want to actually believe that we are not those violent folks. But if I am to be Jesus' person, then with Mary, I must go to the base of the cross and see the son born to Omar, gone and dying, and understand that that is every woman's son, and that is every generation's violence, until we sing with our toes, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. May we in this life find those places where we will not stop saying aloud the names of the children we're losing, the names of those we have imprisoned and have determined to kill quickly before the drugs run out. We must hear when we sanitize the violence of our own government, of every age, and say instead, there is a choice. It is the choice that Jesus puts before Peter, to take the sword and put it away. To say of every life, the one on the corner where you stop your car to turn the red light, who'd like some money, the person I'm sure outside your doors, the person I hope who is welcome here, come in. I too am Jesus' person. I too am singing with you, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Today, we ask, Jesus, may we bear your name as you bear us in mercy to your kingdom. In a beautiful book of Psalms entitled Book of Mercy, written by the late Leonard Cohen, he writes as follows. Not knowing where to go, I go to you. Not knowing where to turn, I turn to you. Not knowing how to speak, I speak to you. Not knowing what to hold, I bind myself to you. Having lost my way, I make my way to you. Having soiled my heart, I lift my heart up to you. having wasted my days, I bring the heap to you. Blocked by every thought, I fly on the wisp of remembrance. Defeated by silence, here is the place where silence is more subtle. And here is the opening in defeat. Here is the clasp of the will. And here is the fear of you. And here is the fastening of mercy. Good Friday, we see Jesus broken and emptied for the world. There is God, the crucified one, on the gallows, among grieving mothers and a torn creation. We do ask ourselves, was there anything we could have done to turn this course in a different way? Then we look left and right to our sisters and our brothers, especially those who bear the name of Jesus. And we try to sing again, Jesus, remember me by name. When you come in your kingdom, I remember you by name. I want to be yours, and I see what we've done. It's uncomfortable, frustrating, unpopular, and exhausting to engage in this act of prayer. Whether it's service or political work or social change that we take up in the name of Jesus, we return to Good Friday each year knowing that there is much that remains to be done. And we change the word slightly to say, Jesus, we bear your name. Bear us with you to your kingdom. We sing with the words of the great hymnist Isaac Watts, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Jesus, bear us to your kingdom. We seek to bear your name.